Okay, everybody, welcome to the first Encounter of 2018. Who's been at Encounter before? Stick your hands up. Who's here for the first time? Oh, cool, we've got a few new faces tonight. Okay, so that video is just, I'm Woolly, by the way, in case anybody doesn't know me. That video is just like a kind of trailer for what we've been speaking about in Encounter for the last few months. We have been looking at creation and specifically who we are made to be. So we're going to continue that a little bit later on, but we're going to start off tonight by singing a few songs before I come up and speak. And yeah, we're going to do things a little bit differently tonight because it's a new year. We're going to do quite a lot of music tonight. We're going to have kind of like a worship service. So I always say I'll try and keep my talk short, but I really will try and keep my talk short tonight. So anyway, I am just going to pray and then we are going to get going with the worship. During the worship time, I would deliberately keep the lights quite low at these events so that you don't feel self-conscious. Feel free to engage as best you can with God. There's no pressure to stand up or to sit down or to do whatever. Just do what feels comfortable with you, as long as you're not going to injure anybody round about you. Okay, so I'm going to pray. Maybe we could all stand just as we kind of, I've just said, don't feel any pressure to stand. I'm going to sit down just to counteract myself. Anyway, I'm going to pray and Stuart will lead us in some worship. So Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. And as we come to you, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, Lord. That you are a Father who is perfect in every way. You're holy, you are without blemish. And so as we come to you tonight, we want to worship you for who you are, Lord. Lord, and although you're a perfect God, Lord, I thank you that you are not a God who is far off, Lord. That you love us all. Lord, and as we come tonight, Lord, I just ask that in your mercy, that you would come and meet with us, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for the way in which your presence has been with us at these events. Lord, and we just ask that you would come, Holy Spirit. You would manifest your presence in this place, corporately among us, Lord. I ask that our worship tonight would be pleasing to you, that it would be a sweet smelling incense before your throne. But we do thank you for the promise in the Bible, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people, Lord. Lord, so we just come to you to bring what we can, what little giftings we have to give praise to an eternal, almighty God, Lord. We take what we have. We ask that you would use it for your glory and that it would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Savior of the world was born.
Guys, if you want to grab a seat, I'll do the first bit of the talk. Sorry, it's maybe a bit irreverent having a kind of iron brew while I do this, but I just grabbed it as I was going out the door, and it is actually one of my favourite preachers used to... He always used to get up and drink a Diet Pepsi when he was preaching, so just be lucky my favourite preacher isn't C.H. Spurgeon, because he used to smoke a cigar when he was preaching. So anyway, right, try and keep it short. So for those of you who haven't been at any of our Encounter events so far, the last few months, as I said, we've been speaking about the story of creation, and specifically we've been looking at the question, who do you think you are? Now, obviously nicked that from the TV program called Who Do You Think You Are, where people try and find out a bit about their family history and their DNA, but we're taking it right back to the start, to when God created mankind. And we've been looking at, in order to do that, we've been looking at the Bible and the very first book in the Bible, which is Genesis, which means beginnings, and speaks about the creation of the world. Now, as most of you will know, we Christians believe that God created the world in 7 days, and we've got the story of creation. But what we've specifically been looking at is, what has God actually created us to be like? Because it says that God made man in his image, and we have been looking at the fact that we in some ways reflect the God who has created us, that we are a reflection of him. We've looked at the fact that we are made for relationship because he is a God of relationship, and we've looked at what it means to be able to know him because of who he has created us to be. So anyway, our focus to this point has really been on identity. What is our identity in God and relationship? And this month we're going to speak about value, self-worth. So the passage I want to read is very brief. I've got 3 verses from Genesis chapter 1, which I've read before in previous events. So this is Genesis 1 and verse 27 and 28. And it says there, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him." I'm just going to interject something quickly at this point. I think it's cool that it doesn't just say, I just thought this today when I was reading through it, it doesn't just say that God created man in his own image. It then repeats it, kind of back to front, and says, in the image of God, he created them. So this is obviously something that God wants us to get. There's a reason the Bible repeats itself here. Anyway, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then I'm going to read another verse, which is a couple of verses later. It's Genesis 1:31, and it says, "And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So, story of creation, the creation part lasts 6 days, and then the seventh day is the day that God rests. So, basically, man is the last thing human. I like the way it says, man and woman, just in case anybody thinks God's a sexist. It says man and male and female, he created them. So when I say man, I mean mankind. So God created man, but the very last thing that he created, and he did that on the sixth day. Now, why do you think he created us last of all? It's not because we were some kind of afterthought. It's not because we are less important than the things that came before. It's because God wanted to have everything prepared for us in advance of creating us. You know, we had Stuart and his family around for dinner the other night, and we got an Indian takeaway, and I went away to pick up the takeaway from the Ek Tandoori. Other Indian takeaways are available. They won't be as good. So we had an Ek Tandoori, and I went away to get it. And when I came home, Claire's my wife, had set out all the table with bowls and candles and things like that. Now, we're very, very different. If I was left to my own devices, people would be given the curry box and a fork. It's a takeaway. We get a chip supper, I eat it out the box, and Claire takes hers out and puts it all neatly on a plate. And I'm like, why are you wasting a plate? But the point here is that Claire wanted to have everything prepared for people coming round and to make it perfect for them. Well, as perfect as we could make it on 5 minutes' notice or whatever we had that you were going to be coming. So God does something, this is a really bad analogy, but God does something similar in creation. He makes all the other things first, so that by the time he makes mankind, everything is set in place. Maybe I should have written my notes on something other than my phone because the battery keeps cutting out. So anyway, I'd be better without these. He wanted everything prepared in advance. He wanted everything ready for our arrival. Because one of the aspects of who he has made us to be is that he actually wanted to make us to rule over the earth. He made us to rule over all of the animals and all of the fish and all of the birds that fly in the sea, to subdue the ground. God created us with a position in the grander scheme of creation where we have authority over other things. Now, he created us to be like him in that regard. He created us to be creators. He tells us to go forth to subdue things and to multiply. God created us to be creators and to take control of this earth. And among all of the things that he's created, only human beings have been created to do this. Because the reality is that we are the apex, the summit of God's creation. We are the pinnacle of what he has created. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am the pinnacle of God's creation. Now do it again like you mean it. That was just an excuse so I could drink some more iron brew. Anyway, these things are unique to human beings, and we have been created with a level of dignity and a level of value, which basically, in the bigger scheme of things, puts us below God, but above everything else. So, if God's given us this dignified position, this position which is glorified above all else in creation apart from God himself, why is it that people don't treat each other like they are the pinnacle of God's creation, like we have that value, like we have that dignity? Why is it that we treat ourselves as if we didn't have that value and that dignity? We live in a society where people abuse themselves, substances, addictions, low self-worth. People, I know loads of people outside of the church that just seem to live their lives with their finger on the self-destruct button. You know, it doesn't matter how good life's going, they always seem to be able to do something stupid to mess everything up. We abuse ourselves. People abuse each other. We live in a world that's full of unkindness, bullying, physical abuse of all sorts. It's a big deal at the moment with modern slavery. There's wars raging around the world. Why is it, if God has created us to be the pinnacle of his creation, that we treat each other so badly? It's no wonder. I read today, actually, that a quarter of young people now report, when their survey's done, on average, a quarter of young people report that they have suffered from anxiety, depression, or some other kind of mental health issues. And one that really shocked me, you know what the number one cause of death is among young adults? Anybody got any ideas? I thought it was going to be something like car accidents, young people drive fast, things like that. It's actually suicide. It's the number one cause of death in people under the age of 34. It's just unbelievable. So why is it that we find ourselves in these positions where people don't seem to know their own value? They don't seem to know their own worth, because we've been separated from God. It comes back to the same thing I've spoken about in other weeks. You know, the story of why is it that we've fallen out of relationship with God? It's because of sin. It's because we disobeyed God. There was one rule. It was only one rule. when man was created. And that was that we weren't meant to eat of a certain tree. And Adam and Eve pushed the self-destruct button. And for the rest of us, as consequences, for the whole of humanity, we have been separated. The Bible says that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Sin is inherent in all of us. Wrongdoing, things that don't match up with God's perfect standard. It's funny. Before I came out tonight, my daughter Grace, she said, "Daddy, you better take my Bible with me." And she gave me her kid's Bible. And she said, "You better tell them about the 10 rules. Now, I'm not going to speak about the 10 commandments, but all of us have fallen short of the perfect standards of God. And it all stems from the fall. It all stems from man disobeying God in the garden. We would rebel, we'd do the one thing that we're not supposed to do. And God says to Adam and Eve at that point, he says, "What have you done? What have you done?" And then something happens. God says, because of what you've done, he said, "You're going to be cursed. Of all the animals, of all creation, you're going to be cursed. The ground's going to be cursed. You're going to have to toil to make it produce for you. It's not going to be easy. The reason most of you are going to have to go to work tomorrow is because Adam and Eve ate the apple in the Garden of Eden." He says you're going to have pain in childbirth that you wouldn't have had before. Yet, God doesn't abandon us in this way. He doesn't leave us separated from him and cursed by him. He remembers he's a good God and he wants to restore us to that position where we know what it means to be the pinnacle of his creation. And what I'm going to do is actually just look at a couple of things tonight in Luke chapter 15. I'm actually going to ask Stuart to come back up and maybe start to play, because there's two passages that I want to read, and there's actually a couple of songs that tie in really well with them. So I'm going to read the first bit, and then we're going to sing a song just to break up my talk a little bit. You know, I was so intrigued by Grace telling me to take her kid's Bible that I forgot to take my own Bible, which had all my markers and stuff in it, so bear with me a second. So the first part that I want to read to you out of Luke chapter 15. In this chapter, we see Jesus. He was meeting with the tax collectors and the sinners, it says. The reason it tells us that he was meeting with the tax collectors is in Jesus' day, the tax collectors were despised of all people. They were greedy, they stole people, they were basically just crooks. And sinners in this context means like the worst of the worst in society. And so Jesus is meeting with these guys. He's actually eating with them. He's having dinner, which is a sign of friendship. And all the religious guys get really worked up. And they said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And Jesus responds like this. It says, "Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. See, the whole story of the Bible, from the point that things go wrong in the Garden of Eden, is a story of, well, the word would be atonement, but it's a story of God making a way for mankind to get back into relationship with Him. The whole story of creation is about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, seeking out the sheep that have wandered off, who've forgotten who they are, who've forgotten who they were created to be. And each one of us is the sheep in that story. He pursues us. He longs for us. He longs for relationship with us. So Stuart's just going to lead us in a song that's based on this. You don't have to stand if you don't want to. And then in a second I'll read you the second part of this passage. so. Jesus goes on a few verses later in Luke 15 to tell another story. It's the same audience that he's speaking to, the same dinner that he's been at, and it says Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." So here we see Jesus explaining a bit more about the consequences of being the lost sheep, or the prodigal son who wanders off, the one who wants it all now. He wants all of his father's wealth. He wants to live by his own rules, and he hits the self-destruct button big time. He finds himself with these pigs, which were, to the Jewish culture, they were filthy, unclean animals. They did not eat bacon rolls for their breakfast. And so this was a picture of absolute failure. This guy hits the lowest point possible, and God restores him to righteousness. He goes home. The father is a picture of God. And the father comes running to him. He forgets being dignified. This is a wealthy guy. He hitches up his cloak and he runs and runs to meet the son. He becomes undignified. And this picture here is a picture of Jesus himself, who the Bible says left the glory of heaven. He left heaven to come down to earth, to die a brutal death, to be tortured, and to die, all so that we could be restored to relationship with God, so that we could be restored to the dignity that we had at the point of creation. It says that the father put the best robe on the son. He put a ring on his finger. These are symbols of being restored to a position of dignity. He put sandals on his feet. They kill the fatted calf and have a feast. The reason why people don't understand their worth and don't understand the worth of others is that we've been separated from God. And only through relationship with Christ can we truly get back to the point where we understand who we are, where we understand how loved we are, how accepted we are, and how important we are to God, how important we are in the scheme of the universe. So, we're going to sing another song. And I'd encourage you all, you can stand at this point. There's a few things that I feel I should ask if anybody wants prayer for this evening. There's some of you, and maybe some of you here tonight, who feel like you are the lost sheep in the first story, that you've never known relationship with Jesus. But you know that there must be more to life. If you feel that there's a disconnection in life, if that's you, if you're the lost sheep tonight and you would love to get to that point where you are made spiritually whole again, where your life feels whole, the only way to achieve that is by surrendering everything to Jesus. Just as he laid down his life for us, he asks us to lay down our life for him. To surrender all of the things that we like to cling on to, all of the things that are out with God's perfect standard, that we lay those down, that we give our life to Jesus, that we ask for forgiveness for squandering the inheritance that we've been given, like the prodigal son. That's the first thing. So you feel like a lost sheep. Another thing I want to offer people prayer for tonight is if you feel like you've lived your life with your finger on the self-destruct button, if you feel like you've wandered from God, wanted it your own way, but you know he's been pursuing you, if you're like the sheep that's wandered off, if you feel like you've squandered the inheritance that you've been given. The third thing is for anybody, when I spoke about the fact that people abuse each other and we abuse ourselves, if there's anybody here tonight who has been abused or disrespected in life and that's been a significant issue for you, then I would like to offer you the opportunity to get prayer here tonight. It might be that you have suffered abuse at the hands of peers or a spouse, family members, that you've been made to feel worthless, like your situation is beyond hope. And come get prayer tonight. Come back to God. Come back to the realization that you are the pinnacle of his creation. You are worth so much to him. Enough that he would give his son for you. So those three things, they're all about spiritual and emotional restoration. And I also want to offer people the opportunity just to get prayer for any physical restoration that they need tonight. And I spoke about anxiety and depression earlier, and when I was writing my notes, I just felt like we needed to offer people an opportunity to get prayer for that as well tonight. And you can get prayer for anything else that you feel that you need prayer for. So what we're going to do now is Stuart is going to lead us in another song. It's based on that prodigal son story. And if any of these things, or maybe you're sitting there thinking all of these things apply to me, if any of these things are for you, then I would like to offer you the opportunity to get prayer. You can either come down the front during this next song or come and grab somebody at the end of the service. But if you're struggling with any of those things, or if you want to give your life to Jesus, then don't go home from this place without doing it. You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose that's worth keeping. Why don't we stand? If you're able to, let's stand and sing this together.
No.
So I just, she's just going to keep playing for a second. We'll sing a couple more songs to close out. But just before I came out of the house tonight, there were some song lyrics that started going through my head. It's not a Christian song, but I really feel like I should share with them. It's actually words from a Kelly Clarkson song called Piece by Piece. I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but for some reason I felt led to read these, and I really think I should share them with you tonight. And the words of that song say, but piece by piece, piece by piece, he collected me up off the ground where you abandoned things. Piece by piece, he filled the holes that you burned in me. 6 years old, and you know, he never walks away. He never asks for money. He takes care of me because he loves me. Piece by piece, he restored my faith that a man can be kind and a father could stay. Piece by piece, I fell far from the tree. I will never leave her like you left me. And she will never have to wonder her worth. Because unlike you, I'm going to put her first. And you know, he'll never walk away. He'll never break her heart. He'll take care of things. He'll love her. Piece by piece, he restored my faith that a man can be kind and the father should be great. I don't know the backstory to this. I just feel tonight that you need to know that God never, ever walks away. He's not after your money. He just loves you. He'll never break your heart. He'll never walk away from you. And he truly, truly, truly is a father who is great. Thank you. I'm just going to pray just now, and we'll bring things to an end formally. Can I just say that if there is anybody who knows, speaking about the things that I felt people might need prayer for, if any of those things resonated at all in your heart, then I'm going to ask Claire and Ewan, would you mind being available to pray with people? Is that okay, Ewan? Yeah? It's not about how you respond. It's not about coming down the front. It's about whether you respond. And if God's speaking to you tonight, then please go down. Claire and Ewan are far more friendly than I am. They're nice people to speak to. Then when everybody's kind of dispersed, feel free to go in. They'll just sit over there to get prayer. There's no stigma. Nobody thinks that you're, oh, they must have depression or anxiety or whatever. Nobody's thinking anything. If you need prayer for anything tonight, anything, then please don't leave here without it. So I'm going to pray to close up. Stuart will lead us in a bonus track to finish us off, as he likes to do. But you're kind of free to go from this point. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence here with us tonight, Lord. Lord, we don't take it for granted. Lord, we thank you that you are a good shepherd, that you are a loving Father, that you love to be with us, Lord. You love to be in relationship with us. And so as everybody heads home tonight, Lord, I just pray that you would be with us, that you would protect us, that you would help us all to get a great night's sleep tonight. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Call me out of my Still the only one I won't claim to. You're the last thought on